The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi. Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. April is Stoners and Mothers Month at BubbleGenius.com. Man, head on over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their That Rug Really Tied the Suds Together Big Lebowski Tribute Gift Pack. A Big Lebowski-themed gift pack that's got a little of everything that makes the movie so beloved. Dude's Caucasian drink soap, a small bowling ball soap, Walter's face down in the mud Dead Sea mud mask, bloody toe soap, bowling pin soap on a rope, Maud's Viking helmet soap, Jackie Treehorn's drawing soap, and a can of Donnie's Ashes bath salts. The dude abides. $70 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, I bought glasses there. My name is Saul Rosenberg.
Yes?
And my eyes are going crazy.
Mr. Rosenberg, I don't have a record card on you. Where did you buy your glasses? Sure it was here?
Yes, I did.
How long ago did you buy it here?
About 4 days, and my eyes is going crazy.
Okay, would you like to come in and see us?
Sure.
Okay. We're at 30 East 60th Street.
35 78th Street. Okay.
No. We're at 30.
Okay.
East 60th Street.
All right. Should I bring all my glasses with me?
You need an examination.
And all my glasses?
Yeah, Mr. Rosenberg, do you need an examination?
Okay.
Do you need an examination?
All right.
Yeah, all right. You need an appointment.
Right. And I'll bring all my shoes and my glasses with me. So I have them.
Mr. Rosenberg.
Sure.
Do you want to see the ophthalmologist?
Right.
You need an appointment.
I'm sorry.
You need an appointment.
Okay.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Thursday, March 31, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, that's Chez right over there.
Hey there.
Hello.
We're brought to you every show by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap ever. Also brought to you by The Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at TheBowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link in the podcast page. It takes you right to TheBowenLawGroup.com. And you can hire Bo. Anything you need. Make sure to bring all your shoes and your glasses with you so you have them.
Saul Rosenberg.
Never ceases to be hilarious every time I hear that. Every time. All right, so big Thursday show for you today. First of all, let's start by way of a correction. And we're not entirely to blame for screwing this one up. I'm blaming Bill Maher. Bill Maher gets all the blame for this one. I was told like seconds after we posted last week's or no, last week's show on Tuesday, we posted the show, and just seconds later, someone informed me that that Emory University story that we talked about at the end of the show from Friday night's episode of Bill Maher, mostly false, according to Snopes. Just to recap, there was a story that Bill Maher talked about Friday night in which students at Emory University were precious snowflakes, were evidently upset by someone who had written in chalk Trump 2016 on the sidewalks at Emory University on campus. And they were talking about how they can't be safe on campus, they feel like their life is in danger, blah, 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 with regard to these chalk drawings on the sidewalk. Well, according to Snopes, that story is mostly false. Students at Emory University were offered emergency counseling after pro-Trump graffiti appeared overnight on campus, in campus safe spaces. Mostly false. What's true? Here's what's true about the story. Students at Emory University gathered in protest after pro-Trump graffiti appeared overnight. Administrators investigated the graffiti as it appeared outside designated areas for chalk markings. So there are areas in Emory University where you can draw on the sidewalk in chalk, and then there are areas where you can't draw on the sidewalk with chalk. Apparently, these pro-Trump messages were drawn in designated areas outside of where you can draw with chalk on the sidewalk. This is a real thing on college campuses. Chalk graffiti. What's false, according to Snopes? Quote, emergency counseling was offered to or demanded by students. Emory students complained that their, quote, safe spaces had been violated. Students were afraid of or traumatized by the chalk markings. So that is all false, according to Snope. So it has the, let's say it has the ring of truth. It has a certain truthiness about it, which is why I bought right into it. Certainly,
yeah,
why.
That's the problem. It's very easy to believe. With everything we've seen over the past couple of years, it is just exceedingly easy to believe.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm seeing here, I'm seeing a picture of it here on the Snopes website. It's under the headline, Chafe Spaces, which I think is pretty funny. Here's a railing on a set of stairs. It's like a almost like a rusty brown metal railing. And on the side of the railing, on the side of the handrail, it says in really bad penmanship, written in chalk, Trump 2016. That's it. So it turned out to be nothing. Okay, so that's that. That's it. Just wanted to correct the record on that. Meanwhile, we talked about on Tuesday about Michelle Fields, the former Breitbart reporter who was manhandled by Corey Lewandowski, Trump's campaign manager. To talk about media stupidity. This, in 2016, this should not be happening, but it still happens. Michelle Fields, her home address was published by both Fox News Channel and BuzzFeed.
You're bastard people.
Jesus God. I mean, probably enemy number one among Trump supporters, first of all. And as we all know, Trump supporters are so terribly forgiving and peaceful.
Yeah, not at all completely dangerous. Not at all just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Former Breitbart reporter Michelle Fields has left her Washington, D.C. apartment after news outlets accidentally published Fields' address and phone number, opening her up to harassment. Fields successfully filed
a
police charge.
Let's stop here for a minute. Yeah. Breitbart pays or has paid enough to get her an apartment in the district?
I guess she's doing quite well.
Wow. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
She's tapped into the Koch brothers money or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe
she
that's
gets her Koch brothers check.
Fields successfully filed police charges against Donald Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, leading to Lewandowski's arrest for battery Tuesday. But when Fox News and BuzzFeed published Lewandowski's arrest report online, they forgot to redact Fields' personal information. Oh my God, you idiots.
Idiots.
You're bastard people.
Fields told The Blaze that she had been swamped with threatening messages on her phone ever since. Some of those threats were bad enough that she no longer felt safe staying in her apartment. I can only effing imagine. I can only imagine the nature of those threats.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine any written threats that she may have received at her home via the mail or whoever else were probably poorly spelled. If the Trump Twitter trolls are any indication. Poorly spelled with terrible penmanship. Just guys, Trump supporters holding their pens like a burrito and then just writing, like their fist writing things down, and I'm going to tell Michelle Fields how I really feel about her. Why is she opposed to making America great again? F you and...
Yeah, exactly.
And then mailing that off, and then she gets that. But I mean, it's just the thing. I mean, can you imagine sitting there in your apartment and you're scrolling through the news headlines that day, and suddenly you see the police report and your address. And then you start to get the phone calls and you start, I would be, I think anyone of us would be, terrified by what these people could potentially do. They're maniacs.
Yeah, it's funny because I really do have an issue with third wave feminism. I think that it's so draconian and it's so humorless and it so permeates everything having to do with being sort of a millennial liberal millennial woman these days. But there is no doubt about the fact that there is just this, since, you know, since social media became a thing, just this rampant misogyny online, just hatred.
Yeah, it's just really bad.
I mean, they will run you out of your home. They will dox you. They will make your life a living hell.
Yeah.
If you dare say something that these people don't like, these, you know, the people at the bottom of the people who live at the bottom of 8chan.
You know, it's a mob mentality. And I think a lot of what people are reacting to is, and I was just thinking about this today because I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and I'm noticing a lot of posts coming up in my Facebook feed about the new movie Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, wow, you know, I'm interested in this movie. I'm seeing a lot of this popping up in my feed. It must be really popular. I mean, more popular than I initially thought, because the critic reviews were terrible, but the box office has been massive. I mean, record-breaking massive. And so I'm going, well, maybe it's that. Maybe that's why it's popular. And then I'm realizing, you know why it's coming up in my feed so much? Because I'm always clicking on these stories. And so it's giving me more Batman versus Superman news in my feed, because correct. Zuckerberg has an algorithm that does that in Facebook. I think that
which is even more scary than the situation we've already seen, because now Facebook is actually tailoring the news toward what you like.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we don't see anything outside of our comfort zone anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of people can feel bombarded by information that they themselves are begging to have in their timeline. You know what I mean? Where they're clicking on, for example, Trump supporters are clicking on a lot of Trump stories that are maybe negative against Trump. And so they're seeing all these stories then popping up, you know, involuntarily in their Facebook feed or even in their Twitter feed, for that matter, because Twitter's starting to do this, too, with the algorithm. And they're saying, oh, my God, all these people are attacking Trump. This has got to be like some big conspiracy that this is all happening. And they get even more and more outraged. And then they lash out. They attack people like Michelle Fields. We're going to talk about this story about this 15-year-old girl who was pepper sprayed at point blank range and sexually assaulted at a Trump rally. Mm-hmm. You know, this all is happening, I think, partly as a result of these algorithms simply giving people what they want to hear. And that's dangerous. This is something brand new. So 4 years ago, Facebook wasn't this sophisticated. Certainly Twitter wasn't, in terms of offering people, making sure that there was an algorithm set up where it was giving people news that they wanted to hear. So you've got this, the echo chamber is multiplied times a gazillion, where now everybody's got their own individual echo chamber within the larger echo chamber.
Exactly.
And that's wrecking havoc. I mean, it's wrecking havoc across the political spectrum. It's certainly wrecking havoc on the Democratic side, where these are two candidates who probably could have run a relatively adult campaign, descending further and further as we go into the realms, and maybe not necessarily the candidates, but a lot of the candidate supporters on both sides, descending into this grabassery and all this rumor mongering and all kinds of other forms of bullshit. And, you know, you certainly see it on the Republican side. And I'm wondering when the story is going to be written in terms of how social media manipulation has manifested a lot of this. And I think it's bigger than what we're even suggesting, because I have very little tech knowledge in terms of how algorithms work and how this stuff happens. I do know that when you're clicking on a certain kind of news story, Mark Zuckerberg is going to feed you more of that kind of news story.
Yeah, I know. That's probably why my Facebook feed is nothing but Bernie.
Right.
God, I made the mistake of writing about Bernie, and I post that stuff on Facebook as promotion. And so now I get nothing but Bernie shit.
Well, I mean, along those lines, I mean, here's a story that I was going to talk about later, but this is a pretty good opportunity to talk about it before we go to break, which is that there's this new story going around about the D.C. ballot for the D.C. primary and how Bernie Sanders apparently wasn't on that ballot. Now, what happens is in these hermetically sealed, self-imposed bubbles that we have, each in our own social media news feed, we see this coming up over and over and over and over and over again, and we are led to believe that this is a major, major thing because we're seeing it all over the place. It's just like, oh my God, this is the only thing anyone's talking about. So it's inflated beyond its normal level of importance. And then when we actually dig into the story, we discover that, well, he wasn't, this is Washington Post had to cover this today, Bernie Sanders wasn't kicked off the D.C. ballot. In fact, both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were excluded from the D.C. ballot because of a clerical error, some mistake on behalf of the Democratic Party in that city, getting ready for that primary. So these are the sort of things that we only discover after it's too late and flooded everyone's newsfeed. Mm. So, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of this, or at least I hope we're going to see a lot of analysis after the election in terms of how social media has impacted this. But all we're really getting now is, well, it's cable news driving. It's cable news either covering too much of Trump or not enough of Bernie, too much of Hillary and not enough of John Kasich or whatever. And that's the kind of stuff we're seeing. But while I tend to believe, and I think, Chez, you can vouch for this based on your knowledge of how many people actually watch cable news, which as a chunk of population, it's not that many. There are far more people following along online.
Yes.
Than are watching cable news. And that's a fact. So it seems to me as if the missing story in all of this.
Sure. More than 1/7 of the population of the world's population is on Facebook.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say right off the bat, I had no intention of even talking about this. But now that I'm looking at it, now that I'm seeing this happening on my Facebook feed in real time as I'm talking about it. It's like, well, yeah, it's obvious. No wonder people are lashing out. No wonder people are feeling cornered because they're getting all of this negative feedback based on the negative feedback that they're requesting.
Yeah.
It really is kind of this negative bombardment of information that we're constantly being subjected to. And of course, that ends up snowballing into all of these flame wars and debates in the comments and people getting frustrated. You know, it's entirely leading me to believe, and this is coming from someone who is deeply passionate about politics. This is my career, but it's also something that I've always been interested in, going back to the time when I was a teenager, even younger than that. And I'm at this point now, and I've said this before, we've both agreed about this, is that I'm so ready for the primary to be over.
Oh, this can't end fast enough.
Yeah. Where once we get to the general election, we'll be in safer territory where it's like, not necessarily safer, but more familiar territory where we're talking about distinctions between basically opposites on the political spectrum, the Democratic nominee versus the Republican nominee. That's a lot easier to chew and digest. But we're certainly not getting that now. And again, it's only being made worse by social media. Okay, we're going to take a short break to talk about shaving razors. And when we come back, we're going to get into this story about Donald Trump. And the funnest topic in the world, abortion. Let's talk about Harry's though, huh? I just can't stop talking about Harry's razors. It's like it's revelatory to me that I can finally shave my face without bleeding to death, without looking like I've been shot in the face by Dick Cheney. I don't like to look like a burn victim after I merely have to shave the hair and stubble off of my face. Harry's razors are the solution to all of that. Harry started 3 years ago this month. They saw the insanity of blade prices, those $32 packs of blades behind their protective glass shields. So the Harry's people decided to buy a factory in Germany that's been making blades forever. And they cut out the middleman, and now they're selling blades directly to you, and they're awesome. First of all, the packaging is like buying an iPod or an iPhone or something like that. It's really well packaged, looks sharp, it looks artistic, and the blades, the handles have heft, and the blades will not slice the hell out of your face. I'm living proof of that. The very fact that I'm living and haven't bled to death. Proof of Harry's quality. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades and their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is our Thursday show. Just as a reminder, we're off next week. We're taking a much-needed vacation for a week. I think we'll both still be writing. I mean, we're not taking a legitimate vacation. We'll both be publishing on the Daily Banter. I'll still be writing at Salon in addition to the Daily Banter. And keeping close tabs on Facebook. My own little echo chamber on Facebook where I get nothing but Batman v Superman news somehow.
Yes.
All right. So Trump kind of stepped into maybe Chris Matthews' biggest news coup, I don't know, ever, maybe in the last 8 years, the biggest Chris Matthews story in a long time. Chris Matthews got Trump to admit last night, or it was yesterday, it was recorded, and then it was aired last night, got Trump to admit that something that Republicans have been afraid to admit, well, ever. Republicans have never come out and said this. Now, there have been a lot of Republicans, including Rand Paul, libertarian Rand Paul, who's wanted to pass these fetal personhood laws, where basically the idea is we're going to designate fertilized eggs and, you know, at every stage of the fetal development, we're going to designate these things as people who should be recipients of all the same rights as those of us who have been birthed receive. And what they don't say is the reason for this is to basically criminalize abortion, to make it possible so that by default, if you say that an embryo is a person, killing that embryo, whether it's with the morning after pill or whether it's through dilatation and curettage, however that, it's like the most elegant word for something that's kind of heinous,
yeah,
or elegant phrase for something that's really heinous, would then be by default murder. If it's a person, then it's murder. And that's the idea. They want to criminalize it. They want to make it prosecutable to arrest doctors, arrest pregnant women who request and pay to have abortions. And so that's what Donald Trump admitted to. Here's, in case you haven't heard it, here's the clip of Donald Trump basically stepping into it and admitting that there needs to be some sort of punishment for people who have illegal abortion.
Yes, what is banned? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
They go to somebody who flunked.
By the way, just want to interject this in here. In many, many states right now, and most of them red states, abortion is already illegal for the most part. Indiana,
it is.
It's try to have an abortion in Indiana.
Yeah, they've made it almost impossible.
Yeah, it's practically impossible to have an abortion in many, many red states. Certainly there are more than a few states that have bans on abortion after a certain point in fetal development. Mainly the one is the 20-week dividing line between a legal abortion and an illegal abortion. I mean, you can still pay someone to give you an abortion after 20 weeks. But, you know, you can still get a legal abortion before that. And that's all based on the bogus fetal pain threshold, where the Republicans have somehow gotten it in their head that at 20 weeks, fetuses can feel pain, when what we know from the American Medical Association, that it's not until something like 27 weeks before they can feel pain. Yeah. So this is what's happening. So it is illegal in many, many places. And so if you have an abortion illegally, what is the punishment? No Republicans until Donald Trump have actually talked about this. So in a strange sense, Donald Trump gaffed by speaking the truth here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue here.
By the way,
are you Catholic?
Yes, I think.
Do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally.
Yeah, and he's exactly right. It's a moral position. It's not a legal position. It's not like, you know, the Catholic Church says we're against abortion, and then if you go off and have an abortion, that the Catholic Church, Pope Francis's friendly Gestapo comes by and arrests you. That's not the case at all. It's just like, well, all right, you had an abortion, you better confess to your sin or else you're going to hell. That's the Catholic Church position. So it's really a bad point that Trump even brought up.
Can I get to the question? Here's my problem.
But let me ask you, but what do you say about...
It's not funny.
...your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral...
Everything is very, very with him.
I told you. That's count the number of times he uses that word. That is his favorite word, very, because everything for him is extremes. So, yeah, very. It's very, very... You know, I have very, very good friends. It was going to be a very beautiful big wall...
And by the way, notice
he's such a joke.
He's a terrible.
It's so sad that we're sitting here talking about him.
It really is
that he has managed to hijack the national conversation for a year and a half.
That's right. And now he's saying something legitimately that we need to address directly because it's so awful. It's not like him saying something ridiculous about his daughter or whatever. It's, I mean, this is a legitimate policy thing. He's actually saying, hey, you know what? If women break the law and they have an abortion, then I guess they should be punished, is what we're getting at here. And by the way, along the lines of him saying very, if you watch this interview on video, and it's all over the place, you can't miss it, notice all of his herky-jerky hand gestures.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone with such, he's almost spastic with his hand gestures. I mean, beyond any other politician I've ever seen. It's like
that's
every,
he can't keep his hands down because his fingers are, they weigh so little that they keep floating up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's got to
like
do it.
Like whenever a slight breeze blows in, they blow his hands all over the place.
You know what? He's like one of those things outside the car dealership, that those tubes that look like people.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Exactly. That's Donald Trump. Someone should check his for a fan. Yeah. There's like something blowing air up through him, making his arms, his little tiny arms, go flailing all around. Jesus. Okay, let's continue with this thing.
Judgments, but you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
It's right there. There has to be some form of punishment. He says for the woman, and he says, and Trump says, yeah. For the woman.
Because Donald Trump is a piece of shit.
That's right. That's right. Again, this entire issue is, it's about several things that they rarely talk about. And, or ever. I mean, Trump, again, is the first Republican that I'm aware of who's come out and said, well, yeah, F it. We're going to start punishing women. We're going to start arresting women who have illegal abortions. It's about that. It's about slut shaming. It's about, you know, because I wrote about this for the Banter magazine today. It should be released any day now or any second now.
I'm not done with my piece yet.
But we're all waiting for Chaz, and Chaz is late again.
Oh well.
Fuck
you all.
So I wrote about this issue. Like, I really wanted to see if I could dig in and tackle the when does life begin question. And what I discovered is, I went back and remembered a story from 2012 in which Tag Romney, Mitt Romney's son, back in 2012, made this gala announcement about the birth of his twins. And he and his wife had these twins. And the way they were able to have these twins is through in vitro fertilization. Mitt Romney seemed to support. I mean, I've got a direct quote from him saying, well, you know, destroying a bunch of embryos in the process of IVF, that's okay. Yeah. But destroying embryos in the process of abortion, that's wrong. So life begins at conception, but it's okay to terminate that life if you're trying to create life. But if you're willy-nilly just wanting to have an abortion, according to Mitt Romney, because the quote by Mitt Romney, and you'll see it in the Banter magazine, the quote by Mitt Romney is basically like, people who have abortions are just willy-nilly doing it. They're just like, yeah, they go to the McDonald's drive-thru and they stop off and have an abortion, then they get a mani-pedi.
Yeah.
That's the Mitt Romney perception of people who have abortions. So I thought it was really revealing that good, wholesome Mormon Tag and Jennifer Romney destroying what could be dozens upon dozens of quote-unquote human lives. Well, that's all good. That's for the greater good, because we arrived at these twins, at these twin Mormons here with their twin magic underwear. But the single embryo that was destroyed by taking a morning after pill, that is a hell worthy trespass against God, and it should be illegal, and you're a baby killer. That's the crazy distinction. It's like the lives that are destroyed in the process of having abortion, according to Republicans, should just as easily be thrown in the garbage. You know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But to donate them to medical research, this is something that we need to, defund Planned Parenthood for. What they never say is that the alternative is just throwing the embryos or the fetuses in the garbage.
And again, it all comes from, we talked about this on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It all comes from the people who believe in the devil.
That's exactly right. It's all about all about the devil.
Why do we have to do this? Well, because the devil.
The devil.
The devil. A grown adult in the year 2016.
Yeah. By the way, you should, if you haven't signed up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, a little plug here. Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Listen to our postmortem show in which we're talking about how many people believe in the devil.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
I mean, there are grown adults, some of them with PhDs, who believe in the existence of the devil. And, you know, when I think of the devil, I just think of John Lovitz dressed as the devil. With the red hood, with the little, the little askew black horns on the top of them.
Sure.
Jesus Christ. And there are people who believe that there is a being under the ground in a torturous facility somewhere. I call it an organization, like Ben Carson.
Right.
It's the Hell Organization. The Hell Organization. And they're down there torturing people. And the devil's got his pitchfork and he's going, yeah, yeah. I'll get you right in the butt with my pitchfork. Yeah, yeah. And that's they believe in that. There are human adults who believe in a devil jabbing people with his pitchfork.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
Really an amazing thing.
So in a second, we're going to talk about how the anti-choice movement is really pissed off at Donald Trump for, you know, telling the truth. And then Fox News Channel's Andrea Tantaros. Well, you won't believe who she ended up blaming for Trump's admission on punishing people who have abortions.
Hold on, let me guess. Gotta be Obama.
No. Believe it or not, it's not Obama, but you're really close.
Hillary Clinton.
There you go. All right, we're going to talk about that in a second. Quick break back after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, and do it, or else the devil's going to jab you with his pitchfork right in the butt. It's going to get you, the devil.
Yep, the devil will come after you if you don't, download our podcast and give money to us. And
that's right. Do it, or else the devil is going to torture you in the Hell Organization. Yeah. All right. So moving along here, I just wanted to note that, I was thinking about this with regard to Facebook and the Facebook bubble. Get ready, because as you might know, tomorrow is April Fool's Day. And so the fake news stories are going to be going crazy. They're going to be fake news stories all over the place. And there will be lots of accompanying fake outrage to go along with the fake. Real outrage about the fake April Fool's joke stories. That's my prediction. Facebook will be loaded with fake headlines and real outrage about the fake headlines. So get ready. Get ready for that. Okay, so moving along here. All right, so the anti-choice movement is really pissed off at Donald Trump for speaking the truth, because this is something they don't want to reveal because it scares the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
They want to make it seem as if they're all about just protecting the fetuses. But what they're really about is criminalizing women, criminalizing doctors, sticking their ridiculous noses in the faces, in the vaginas of women all across the country. who want to have this thing, putting themselves between women and their doctors, stripping women of sovereignty over their own goddamn bodies. That's what this is all about. Here, for months, the major concern the anti-abortion movement had with Donald Trump was that he was too wobbly on the issue. But on Wednesday, Trump staked out an abortion position so extreme that he blew up years of abortion foes' careful messaging. Trump's comment today is completely out of touch with the pro-life movement and even more with women who have chosen such a sad thing as an abortion, said Jeanine Mancini, the president of March for Life Education and Defense Fund. She said that in a statement rushed out about an hour after Trump's remarks were first broadcast. No pro-lifer would ever want to punish a woman who has chosen abortion. This is against the very nature of what we are all about. And that is a big fat lie. You know what it is? It's weasel words.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're making it sound as if now. Because abortion, for the most, I mean, not even for the most part, but narrowly, abortion is still legal. Right. So you're not going to get punished for doing something that's still legal as long as you're within the parameters of what's legal. So that's what they talk. This is no pro-lifer would ever want to punish a woman who has chosen abortion. But when they make it illegal, and they do, they want to make it illegal across the board because they consider it not only murder, they consider this genocide.
Absolutely.
This is a Holocaust against the unborn is what they're talking about.
I love it when they use that terminology.
Yeah. And so when that becomes illegal, that's when they start punishing people. You can't make something illegal and then not have some sort of civil penalty for people who violate that law. And so that's what this is all leading to. I mean, declaring that a fetus is a person is something that they're actively trying to do. Rand Paul twice has introduced legislation calling for fetal personhood. The libertarian candidate. And what he doesn't say about it is that if
he wants to shrink down government so it's small enough that he can fit it in your vagina.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the goal. That's exactly what they want to do. So they're pissed off about that. And of course, now the cat's out of the bag and everyone who wasn't, you know, bright enough to catch what that was all about, the fetal personhood laws and where the pro-life movement is headed. Well, Donald Trump spelled it out for you. So now we know. So in that respect, what Donald Trump said was, in a strange and weird way, a breath of fresh air, a bit of honesty from Mr. Trump. And that was an entirely honest response. Of course, his staffers walked it back like seconds later. They released this statement that said, it's headlined, Donald J. Trump's statement regarding abortion. If Congress were to pass legislation making abortion illegal and the federal courts upheld this legislation, or any state were permitted to ban abortion under state and federal law, that sentence doesn't even make sense. Or any state were permitted to ban abortion under state and federal law. What does that even mean? A state that's going to ban abortion under federal law? What?
No.
Yeah, this is Trump's campaign. One of Trump's many advisors. All right, so
along with Omarosa and the guy who beats up women.
Exactly. So this doesn't make any sense, but they're clarifying the doctor or any other person performing this illegal act upon a woman would be held legally responsible, comma, not the woman. The woman is a victim in this case, as is the life in her womb. My position has not changed. Trump's position has not changed. Like Ronald Reagan, I'm pro-life with exceptions. So there's the distinction without a difference. He is he's pro-life, but I don't understand this at all. I don't understand any of this. So what he's saying is that the woman is a victim in this case, as if the doctors like Cecile Richards went, you know, to someone's house, tied down a pregnant woman and just forcefully gave her an abortion.
That happens all the time.
Yes, it does. Marauding pro-choice people, performing abortions against people who don't want them. Like bands, like the pro-choice posse going around saying, all right, you're pregnant, over here, abortion now. They put the stirrups on and they do
say,
all the
when
things.
When they say abortion on demand of the doctors.
That's right.
Whenever we want it. Well, you know what? It's been a while. I need to give an abortion today.
So, I mean, the point I think we're trying to make here is that the woman it has to be included in the illegality or in the illegal behavior. Because she's choosing to do it herself and hiring, so she's an accomplice and, in fact, the mastermind of this murder plot in the vernacular of the anti-choice Republicans. I don't know how you distinguish the one.
It's surprising you don't hear more of that, though.
Yeah.
It's surprising you don't hear. I mean, they're trying so desperately to stop abortion. It really is, even though it's kind of a third rail, it's shocking that you don't hear more Republicans say, In addition to banning abortion and overturning Roe v. Wade, we will arrest women who get abortions.
That's exactly right. And that's absolutely going to happen. If they are able to succeed, if a Republican gets elected in November and that Republican ends up appointing another Republican to take Antonin Scalia's seat in the Supreme Court, then we're talking about all varieties of horrible things occurring after that, including more and more trap laws, more and more anti-abortion laws, and certainly something occurring at the federal level where once Rand Paul introduced another fetal personhood law, President Trump or President Cruz, and Cruz is almost more dangerous. Cruz is absolutely more dangerous than Trump on this issue, by the way. And he's not getting the publicity for it this week because it's Trump who delivered the quote. But I assure you, Ted Cruz's views on abortion are a lot more draconian than Donald Trump's views ever have been. So they're gonna sign the fetal personhood laws, and then that's gonna be it. That's gonna be the ball game. So that's on the way. Meanwhile, Fox News' Andrea Tantaros blamed Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump's remarks. Just so you can actually hear how ridiculously stupid this is, I have the quote here. This is Andrea Tantaros on Fox News yesterday.
But what he did was he walked into exactly what Hillary Clinton wanted him to walk into, which is a trap that she can take and she can push out in mailers and they can get their upcoming gender war, which is exactly what they want. I mean,
So this is all about
Andrea Tantaros. I've written about her so many times, is one of my absolute favorite people at Fox News because since she's a B-lister, she has to try extra hard to just be vapid and stupid.
Exactly.
To get the attention of management so that they'll at some point bump her up.
So
she just says the dumbest shit. She is, you know, she is a petty, pissy little dunce who, you know, who knows nothing, is, you know, a hateful little shit. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she's terrible. She's terrible. And so somehow this is some kind of Hillary jiu-jitsu that she's dealing with here, some sort of five-layer chess that Hillary Clinton is playing to trap Donald Trump into admitting something that every Republican knows but is afraid to admit. Right. And this is somehow Hillary's fault. This is Hillary's machinations, some sort of Machiavellian scheme to get Donald Trump, to trick Donald Trump into admitting the truth. And through her surrogate, Chris Matthews, who's been nothing but up Hillary Clinton's ass for like the last 30 years. And Chris Matthews is the guy doing Hillary Clinton's bidding on all of this.
Yeah.
Sure. Asking Trump a point blank question, trying to get a straight answer out of the guy. And what does the guy, what does Trump do? Answers completely honestly.
You know, and I gotta give Matthews credit. Man, can Matthews be insufferable?
Yeah, I know.
He talks over people. He's a loudmouth. But when it comes to MSNBC talent, he does have a knack for demanding answers.
Yeah.
You know, that interview he did with Bernie a while back, where he's just like, "How are you going to get this done?
Yeah.
How are you going to get this done?" And he wouldn't let him escape it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course the Bernie fanatic said that, you know, Bernie beat him, Bernie showed him up. Honestly, no, we didn't, because Matthews really hammered him. And he did the same thing with Trump. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And Bernie kept saying,
"Excuse me, I'm talking."
No. All right. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Missouri Republican who thinks he's an abortion expert. Why? We'll get to that in just a second right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us. Getting close to a podcast vacation, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah,
It's funny when you suggested that. I was like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I know. And the
I love doing this. I genuinely do. I will never, have the nerve to say that this is somehow difficult. It's not. It's great.
Yeah, and right. And if something big happens, as we said on Tuesday, if something big happens in the news, we'll come back and do a show. But it would have to be pretty big.
Yeah, definitely.
Have to be really big. All right. So this news story caught my eye. Because, again, underscoring the Republican stupidity on this issue, Missouri GOP politician laughed at for saying he's a reproductive expert because he was, guess what? He was an embryo himself. So that makes him. It was during a debate in the Missouri House Committee on Children and Families, GOP State Representative Mike Moon declared that since he was once an embryo, that means he is a qualified reproductive health expert who knows what he's talking about when it comes to abortion and whether or not an embryo is indeed a person. And yes, people laughed at him during the hearing. The hearing was about House Joint Resolution 98, which would ban abortion in the state by enshrining the right to life of unborn human children at every stage of biological development in the Missouri Constitution. So they're trying to. It's actually a constitutional amendment.
I'm going to try that out. I want to try that out at some point. I'm just going to start telling people I'm an expert in particle physics because I breathe oxygen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, at one point in fetal development, all men just had a clitoris, and then it turned into a penis there with a certain amount. So at some point, we all can relate to having a clitoris. I mean, that's just a fact of life, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a gynecologist.
According to the Columbia Missourian, Moon, quote, opened the hearing by showing a video of an unborn fetus on a display monitor. The fetus was developed enough to make, I like the sentence, by the way, that makes it sound like the unborn fetus was just sitting atop a display monitor, just sitting up there watching the proceedings going on with a bucket of popcorn or something. The fetus was developed enough to make out undeniably human characteristics such as hands and a face. Quote, a precious sight, I think most of us would agree, Moon declared. The more you look at that, the more you have to realize that that is a human being. Moon went on to compare abortion to slavery, of course, before making more of an ass of himself by concluding, Jesus Christ, quote, as a former embryo myself, I would like protection for all embryos.
Oh, thank God.
After
I'm so glad he's fighting for his kind.
After the laughter died down, of course there's lots of laughter. After that that died down, a real health expert testified against the resolution. St. Louis physician Ed Weisbart said there is no scientific consensus for when life begins and that women should have the final choice to end their pregnancy or not. So that's obviously the common sense approach. I mean, I wrote about this, again, I'm previewing what I wrote about in the Banter magazine, so you definitely want to go and subscribe at thedailybanter.com for all of our stuff. But, I mean, I wrote about this, and I didn't even know about this story when I wrote my article, so I didn't include this story in my article. But suffice to say, you want to extend the definition of a human life far enough, or like, when does the process begin? The process could, I mean, you could make a case that the process begins when you decide to have sex with a woman as a guy, or when a couple decides to have sex, better put. So when they decide to have sex and they're both fertile and the woman is ovulating, then that is technically, in a theoretical sense, the beginning of a human life, because conception could take place that night. But if they decide not to, are they preemptively aborting that life that was about to be made? I don't know. It's all a big mystery. And that's the point. That's the point. The human life cycle certainly begins at conception. But whether or not that is a sentient human life, that's a completely different topic. And you cannot prove to me, and of course the Republican position is, if that life has a soul, therefore that life should be, that life has a soul, therefore that life should be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, prove it. Prove to me that that life has a soul. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about this this teen girl who was assaulted but with pepper spray.
That's just... Wow. Yeah, I mean, I saw that happen, and I'm just... what? She's 15.
Yeah.
She's a 15-year-old girl, and she says that the reason that she went after the guy is that he was grabbing her breasts.
Yeah. Police in Janesville, Wisconsin are searching for two Donald Trump rally attendees who pepper sprayed and sexually assaulted a 15-year-old anti-Trump protester outside the Republican presidential frontrunner's rally on Tuesday. They weren't even in the rally. It was outside.
Yeah.
Where you're free to protest. Video of the incident shows other apparent Trump supporters shouting bitch and lover to the teenager as she attempts to walk away with pepper spray in her eyes. Now, this isn't just a normal amount of pepper spray.
Yeah, that's a... I mean, look, I got, you know, as anyone who's followed banter knows, I got pepper sprayed in Ferguson by, you know, obviously I don't know how much more powerful the police grade spray was than whatever this clown was carrying. He may have had the same thing. He may, you know, go to a surplus store or something and pick it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got hit I got hit pretty good, but even I didn't, you know, my face wasn't bright orange from being sprayed directly in the face.
Yeah.
And what I got hit with was like being on fire for 24 hours.
Yeah. I remember it distinctly. We did a show when you were still recovering from being pepper sprayed in Ferguson.
Yeah. It hurts like hell.
Yeah. And this woman looks like she had been, or this girl, I should say. I mean, she's 15 years old, for God's sake. Looks like she has got melted cheese all over her face. I mean, and I'm seeing this still image of the video. This pepper spray has got to be no more than 8 inches away from her nose. Fortunately, she's wearing glasses, so that probably protected her eyes a little bit, but it's going to burn the shit out of her skin, too, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. By the way, I want to interject something really quick because I think it's really, really cool. Speaking of Ferguson,
yeah.
Ferguson got itself a new police chief.
Oh, that's great. And so who is this guy?
Delrish Moss from Miami PD, who's a major. He's been the PIO there for a while. He is an amazing cop.
Really?
A really, really good man. A really good cop and a really good man. So congratulations to him. And I guarantee you he is going to, you know, turn that department upside down, which it desperately needs.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah. And by the way, because it is, you know, considering that it's Ferguson, it's worth mentioning he is a black man.
It's amazing what happens when you get fair cops. And there are many, many fair cops who abide by the law, who are not, you know, knee-jerk about using violence to subdue, you know, people who they allege are criminals. These are things that are no-brainers. These are things that are easy to do. It's easy to take someone in using nonviolent means.
Yeah, Dell is a good, good cop.
Yeah, and there are, of course, justifications, too, for using harsher means to subdue a criminal. But most of these cases that we've seen, if not all of them, on video, are cases where the violence was completely unnecessary, completely over the top, especially in the cases of these wrongful deaths that took place.
Sure, because the goal should be to de-escalate, if possible, always.
That's right. So again, we've got more violence at Trump rallies.
I really enjoyed, by the way, what you said about the two Trump rally attendees. That's going to be the new fitting the description of. Police are on the lookout for two Trump rally attendees.
Right. That's I mean, I guess would that make it easier for the cops? I guess they look for the people with the white hoods on. They just the white hoods are kind of a giveaway. The burning crosses. We'll just find those guys. Okay, so...
Yeah, where the white women at?
All right. So, again, the fun continues at the Trump rallies. So, never mind about human life that's just there protesting, exercising their civil rights, their First Amendment rights to gather and protest against Donald Trump. They got to be pepper sprayed in the face. Because life, all life is sacred. Whatever. Meanwhile, the Republicans are getting ready for a contested convention. They've released a website called conventionfacts.gop, where they're just basically spelling out the rules for, you know, to preempt all the inchoate rage that's going to occur when the convention starts. They want to at least get the education process out there. Because, I mean, basically, the rules committee at the convention can deal with... They can make any rule that they want against Donald Trump. The rules committee... I forget who was saying this on MSNBC the other. Maybe it was Jonathan Alter. The rules committee can basically say anyone with the initials DT cannot be the nominee. I mean, they can do whatever the hell they want to stack the results of the convention.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, really, they have no choice, though.
Yeah.
Because if they try to take it from him, he will run as an independent.
That's right. That's right. And this is one of the things that Ben Carson was completely accurate about this week when he said that there are going to be millions upon millions of voters. But basically, 7.5 million voters right now have cast ballots for Donald Trump. And they're going to flip their shit. It is going to be...
It's going to be violent, too. It's going to be really violent.
Absolutely violent. Probably pouring over into the convention hall itself as well as certainly outside. And, wow, that's going to be fun to watch, isn't it?
Yeah,
I almost want to book us some tickets to Cleveland and actually see what's going on, what's going to happen firsthand. So they've got, you know, it's several different rules. They've got several different categories in this website. What happens at the convention? The delegates becoming a nominee, the rules, the RNC's role, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically saying, you dumb idiots, here's how we're going to make sure that Trump does or doesn't get the nomination. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Postmortem Show up next at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up at the $5 level if you want to listen. It's only $5 a month. So bargain at half the price. We pass the savings along to you. See you there. If not, we'll see you on the after party on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.